What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to Panels on Pages. My name is Dali Bordojevich. I am the Indie Hype Man, and today we're going to be reviewing a few comic books. You can definitely check out the video because I will be including the footage of the books. I've got a couple books on the table here, and I've got a couple books I want to talk about first that I read digitally, and that's going to be the recent Fall of X stuff. Let's start with the gala, right? Holy shit. Holy shit. Hellfire Gala 2023, damn. There is the caveat of everything that's happening right now being tied to an editorial shift coming up in about a year. I don't care. I hate stories that are affected by editorial decisions and editorial direction. So, we're getting a new editor for the X-Books, thus we have to end the Krakoan era. It's silly. It's absolutely silly. I hope that out of this Fall of X era, we get something new. Like, I mean, give me something new. As long as we are not resetting back to, they live in a mansion, they're feared and hated and all this other stuff. I hate that shit. We are over that shit. We are past that shit. We could still talk about the civil rights allegory of the X-Men without having to put them back into a little corner and have them be, I don't want them to kill off 16 million of them in one issue. I don't want them, you know what I'm saying? Like, we have this scenario again where, we're down to a few mutants. We're back to scrapping it together. We're meeting in the sewers and shit. I don't like that. I mean, like, I like the story as it's being told. Don't get me wrong. I am just hoping that this is a step towards something new. I mean, make Scott right. You know, I've always been a very firm supporter of Scott Summers. Cyclops was right. Cyclops has been right the whole time. And I'm going to say, let's just make him right again because he's been right this whole time, right? So we have this absolutely ridiculous argument that Scott and Jean got into recently, which was just to set him up in a way of we're gonna need to be separated for this final fight so that we have different arcs going on. This has been chess for about 6 to 8 months. For about that long, this has just been chess for the writers. They have just been putting pieces on the board. They're just laying it out. And now we're actually playing the game. But in preparing these pieces, they had this really stupid argument between Scott and Jean where Jean's like, you never want to see the planet I made. Like, first of all, I mean, you were like one of 17 people that made it. Like, please.
And another thing that's really annoying.
Oh, Logan's gonna go loner again. He's not good on teams. The fuck are you talking about? This entire arc, this entire run has been about him working on teams, has been about him being a core, like, needed member of a team. But now he's no good on teams. I've never been good on teams. I cannot stand when writers come on and they know these characters a certain way and they just want to put him into that situation. Thankfully, I know this doesn't turn into, like, post losing his adamantium Logan where he's just off on his own away from the X-Men because he's not good on teams. I know it's not that because there is now the rumor floating around of Jean coming back, obviously because Jean and her and Logan putting a team back together. And supposedly Scott's gonna be back in there too, which I really hope we just deal with that dynamic. I do not want this to go back to being Scott and Jean in a relationship and Wolverine is like the odd man out. Just make them a polycule. I do not care if you don't know how to write it. Hire someone who does or consult with someone who understands the dynamic or who has experienced the dynamic. It is not fucking difficult. We did it for the entire Hickman era up until the last 8 months. Like, we just dealt with it. It was just a thing. She spent a night with Logan. She spent a night with Scott. None of it was complicated. You just did it. And it's fine. It was fine. But it feels like the people who read the X-Men or watched the X-Men back in the 90s and it was very much like, Logan, get away from my girl, who saw the X-Men movies and was like, stay away from my girl, Logan. These are the writers that we have now and they want to write that scenario. No one wants to read it though. That's the problem. It was corny in the 90s and early 2000s. It's damn sure corny now. Especially post Free Love Krakoa. Like, it's really not necessary. The interpersonal romantic drama from these adults who have all three died multiple times, you gotta just move on. We gotta move on from this teenage bullshit. So I'm hoping that is a central dynamic of this new team that they're gonna build. of them recreating like a strong baseline X-Men team, which like really needs to be more diverse. Like, okay, Storm's going to be in it, obviously. Storm's going to be in it, which like, but hopefully that means I'm going to be right and they're going to be on Araco. Because what I was going to say is I hope they make Scott right, and that because of all this bullshit, because of all Yorka's bullshit, the X-Men and mutants just say, fuck it. You guys bought into their shit way too easily. We have not, this is not the first time we've had to deal with this nonsense. We are actually just going to go. We're going to go. We're going to build our fucking utopian society. We're going to go build our stronger, more powerful, and just better society overall. And you can fucking deal with it. We don't care. We don't give a shit no more. If some shit is threatening your planet, but not ours, we don't give a fuck, right? And then do that for a year or two. Give us stories on Araco. Give us mutant-only stories. Maybe you have a few, you know, visitors that are like, hey, you know, we're cool with you guys or whatever. Sure. But then, like, the humans on the planet are the fucking outcasts, right? Oh, we have Peter Corbeau shows up to visit, and they're like, oh, well, fuck this human guy, right? I want to see something different. I want to see something completely different than the actual, like, reset that is, at this point, almost inevitable. Because that's just what Marvel does. That's what these writers seem to always want to do. They want to reset it. If you watch Claremont's X-Men, the documentary about Chris Claremont developing the X-Men into what they are today, the reason he left the book back in 1991 is because Jim Lee wanted to draw Magneto and Wolverine, and he had plans to kill both of them off. And Jim Lee's like, well, I came to do this. I came to this job. I came to the X-Men to draw Magneto and Wolverine. And that was the artist era. So they were like, Chris, you got to write these motherfuckers back in. And he's like, all right, cool. I'm going to go. Granted, debatable whether it would have been good. X-Men Forever supposedly was the original plan. I still haven't read the full thing. I've read some of it. It's not the best. It's not the best thing he's ever done, certainly. It would have been something different. It would have been forward progress. If you read X-Men The End and tell me that is not a perfect send-off to the X-Men. Like, if you were to say, all right, we've moved on. This is the next era. I mean, like, Kate Pryde's arc in that? Stop it. My point is, I hope everything that's happening now. Listen, it's all very good, right? Red, holy crap. I mean, first of all, the coloring on Sunspot, fucking about time, okay? Can we keep like a fucking baseline? Like keep a like color profile for every character. Why is this not a thing? This is a thing for every other design in existence, right? Every single other design in existence. If you have a design, if you have a logo, if you have a company profile, you create a color chart. These are your company colors. These are the characters' colors. Guess what? That should include skin tone. Why the hell have we seen 50 Shades of Berto? Like, why? Why? It doesn't make sense. Like, get this shit right. This is a stupid thing to have to keep dealing with. Like, the fact that it took however, like, the fact that we were doing okay, and then it was like, now he's white. Now he's basically just white. And then we cast him white. What the fuck happened there? And then it's like, nah, we're like, mid-gray, like a tanned white guy. What the fuck? Like, how? How did any of that happen? Peter Parker's never suddenly been black. It only seems to happen when it's somebody of a darker complexion. So maybe editorial, do your fucking job and actually monitor the fucking output that's coming out of these fucking books. Like, your colorist should be able to reference your fucking sheet and say, oh, Sunspot looks like this. This is his skin color. Boom. Drag and drop. That's where we're starting. We don't start with white and then throw on a little tan. We start with his base color. Like, I don't understand. Listen, my point is, it was done well in the latest issue of X-Men Red about goddamn time. Now, as a fat man, I have to object to the mistreatment of Frederick J. Dukes. What the fuck, guys? What the fuck? This guy's been on the island the whole time, right? He was probably the first one to be like, fuck this evil shit. I'm gonna go and live on a fucking island, bitches. Deuces. Right? Because he's been sick of it. There has been stories in the past where he's been sick of it. When he lost his powers, he built a whole other life for himself. There's absolutely no reason why we should have Frederick J. Dukes suddenly just believe that Cyclops is going full fucking rogue. And I don't, and I'm definitely not even saying again, because Revolutionary Cyclops was not this dude. This is complete. Revolutionary Cyclops would never have worked with the fucking Struckers. And I feel like fucking Fred J. Dukes knows that. I feel like the Blob knows that. What the fuck is this writing? Like, oh, like, you have so many other, like, it could have been it could have been Nature Girl. It could have been X-Men Green. Right, I'm not up to date on fucking Unlimited, so she may be dead for all I fucking know. I have no clue. I'm gonna need to catch, there's like 100 fucking issues. Like, Jesus Christ, guys. I'm on like 30. I need to catch up. My point is, there are other people on that island that could have easily been swayed. People who are just waiting for a fucking excuse. Like, come on. Really? Really? Like, what the fuck is Sabretooth up to? Where's he at? At the end of that story, he was pretty available. He was pretty available at the end of that arc. So, why isn't he at the head of this? Why isn't he the problem child? I don't know. It bothered me. I saw it and I was like, why? Like, he should know better. Also, why would he shave? It doesn't make sense. I don't know. Like, why would he shave for this? Like, he had a nice beard going. He had a good look. I don't know. He had a nice mustache going. It was a good look for him. A lot of this doesn't make sense. Marvel Voices X-Men was really great. I love the smattering of different creative voices to be put into this. Absolutely love the fight between Storm and Iceman, the like training session. Also, that was a TikToker that was writing and comedian and many other things. That's how I first met him. So like he's a TikToker from my perspective, but I also realize he's other things and a published Marvel writer now as well. So it was just like great to see that. Like when I saw Blurred Girl's book, I was like, holy shit! Like, this is a person who does podcasts and does like regular people shit, and is now just like putting canon together for Marvel, like putting Marvel canon together. That's wild. That's wild. Like, that's so cool. I'm proud of both of them, and I'm proud of everybody else that jumps in on this. I mean, like, I listened to Jay and Miles explain the X-Men for a very, very long time, and when Jay ended up doing an issue of Cyclops, you could tell. The love for Cyclops was in that whole issue. Like, that was fantastic. Anyway, like, I'm just proud when people from the new media, quote-unquote, end up doing Marvel books and, like, shit for Marvel. Like, that's so fucking cool. Overall, I would say the Fall of X, very well orchestrated in the background. I almost have a feeling that we're going to have a reveal of like an even bigger bad. This was just a feeling. I was listening to Rocco Public Radio the other day, and that Nerdy Papa Bear was saying something. I forget what he was saying, but it like triggered this train of thought for me. And I'm like, I wonder if there's like somebody behind even all of this, behind Orcus. Like, Orcus seemed to jump on and like appear immediately right after fucking, I mean, like, they were building a mother mold in orbit of the sun. Like, it seemed very, very, very well timed. And I'm hoping that there's going to be something a little deeper, something a little more complicated. I'm hoping that we're gonna see something more out of that. It just feels like they're just kind of everywhere all at once. It feels too well organized right out the gate, that especially now with everything else, like all the fucking chips falling. I just feel like there might be some other bigger bad behind all of that, and I'm interested to see who that could be, because like, I don't want Apocalypse to be a bad guy no more. You know what I'm saying? Like, we already got the Sinister is Sinister. Like, Sinister was always going to be Sinister. We've gotten even, now there's fucking four of them, you know? Like, there's a lot more to Sinister these days. But, like, I don't want it to be the typical bad guy. Now, if it was me, if it was me and I was given the reins at Marvel, I would just bring in Malibu characters and make them, like, irrationally mad at the X-Men, because they've had the most experience with the X-Men. So in my eyes, I'm like, I could see like a I see like a prototype being like real mad. Maybe like their universe, maybe during the incursions. Guys, I just had a thought. I had a brilliant thought, I think. Granted, it wasn't on panel, right? It wasn't on page, but you could easily work it in. The Secret Wars event of 2015 folded in the Malibu Ultraverse. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong, fam. Tell me I'm wrong. Ugh! Anyway, so like I'm saying, that would be me. If I was in that position, I would be saying, you know what? It was prototype, or fuck it. I just go all the way back and give it to Hardcase. He's just real fucking mad. He like remembers the old world. He's not famous. Nobody fucking knows who he is. And he like built himself back up and he's fucking orchestrated this whole thing. Oh, it's not that. It's obviously not that, because like, I'm sure there's a bunch of rights and fucking royalties and shit that Disney doesn't want to pay to fucking people who co-own all those books and characters and shit. I'm sure that's why we don't have like omnibuses and shit. We should fucking pay them motherfuckers so I can have omnibuses of the Exiles, you sons of bitches. But, and Ultra Force, goddamn Ultra Force. But my point is, I'm hoping that there's a bigger bad. I'm hoping that it's not like, oh, just like another like human / AI organization was just like ready to fucking rip the mutants apart when they made a move to like better themselves. Like, fuck them, right? It feels like that's been done before, right? We've had that in so many various incarnations before that I want this to be something bigger. Anyway, moving from that, we go into the physical books right here on the table. I have two books. One is The Amazing Camel Toe. This was sent to me by Black Panel Press, actually, by Claire. I have to read the back because Claire Duplan, because I read this when I was doing the TikTok. I did not read Duplan. That's not what I would have read there. I mean, I see it now when I say it and I like guide my brain to look for those letters. But that's not what I saw originally. I don't remember what it was, but it wasn't that. This is a book about a woman, a cartoonist, who is faced with many of the things that women go through on a regular basis and deals with it by writing what some might call inflammatory comic book to kind of just like let out her frustrations and deal with like the characters that she sees in life that she can't, you know, physically assault and, you know, do all these bad things to because she's a good person. But she writes this character that's like meting out justice. Is that the right word? Meting? And her name is The Amazing Camel Toe. There's a moment in the book where this makes sense, but that is what it is. I actually think this is a really good book. It's weird. It like weirdly lines up here. I actually think this is a really good book. I enjoyed reading it because it gave you like a really good, clean story. I will say there are a couple spots where I'm not 100% sure why certain decisions were made. But I also feel like this also maybe wasn't originally written. I don't know. Like if maybe it was written as a graphic novel. Like there's certain pages that feel like they were more like this kind of thing feels like it was more like a strip. Like, this was 1 week, this was another week, this was another week, that kind of thing. So it's like some parts of the story to me don't necessarily make sense. But maybe, you know, on a future reread, maybe they will. Who knows? Overall solid, blackpanelpress.com. Tell me I got that right. Tell me I got that right off the bat. Blackpanelpress.com. Look at that. Look at that. Blackpanelpress.com. If you want to check it out, they've got this. They've got a bunch of other books. I believe this is a translation. Regardless, they have a bunch of different stuff on their website, different kinds of books, different genres. This is just the one that they offered me. I think they also sent me a digital download for another book, something sci-fi. I forget what it was at this time, but I'll get to it soonish. I feel bad, like they're sending me stuff, so I do want to review it as soon as possible. So I'm going to probably fast track that and, you know, skip the roll and just put it on the list. But I forget what it is. I'm going to have to check my email. And then the other one, The Republic. Now, this one I have a lot of thoughts about. I think this is a really good book. Like, generally speaking, as a read, it's a really, really good book. Like, there's action, there's mystery, there's drama, all sorts of stuff are in here. Post-apocalyptic, like, if I recall correctly, they don't remember, like, how society used to work. Like, we are several eras beyond humanity, and basically we have built this like growing city. Like, it's funny because it's kind of like those like state of survival, right? You build the city and then you like build it further out and shit as you like make your survivor society bigger. And that's kind of what this is, right? They've got this walled off city and they're protecting themselves and they've got like raider groups and things like that. It's a very good story, but the main plot is this guy who is like a wartime general, like he saved the city during its worst hour and they've made him like a new representative on the council. And he's kind of like, I'm a general, you know, I don't know how to lead, blah, blah, blah. And then of course you see him rise to the occasion because that's kind of how these things go. The thing for me is this story happens. It begins, ends, like wash your hands clean. My problem is this is season three. To me, this is season three, volume three. I want to read the story where he saved the city. I want to read the collapse of the society. And I want to read what happens next. What is the next level? Are we building out a bigger city? Are we relearning how to concrete? Are we expanding the city? Are we reacquiring weapons? Because that's another like element of this. There's like a sudden reintroduction of a certain class of weapons in this society. There's just a lot to this that makes me like have more questions before and after. This feels like something that builds a universe that I want to know more about. I feel about this in many ways the way I feel about the first 10 or whatever minutes of After Earth. After Earth, generally not a great movie, but guess what? As a season 4 or 5 like premiere, or like season four finale, season 5 premiere, like split into two, would have been great, right? Because I want to watch all of that stuff where they had to leave Earth and they moved to another another planet that had these hostile creatures, and then it took them several generations to figure out how to fight them and all this stuff. I want to watch that show, right? I want to watch how society crumbled. I want to watch how like people slowly started to rebuild. And I don't want to see zombies. Like, that's kind of what this feels like. This feels like if you watched Walking Dead, and I guess spoilers for The Walking Dead, I watched it up to like season 8 or 9 or whatever. If you watched that show or read that book, when they get to Alexandria, right, this is kind of like Alexandria, just in a bigger city. You know, it's walled off and it's protected, and they have guards and all this stuff. And I want to see that process. Like, I want the fear of The Walking Dead, right? I want the how this started, how everyone dealt with it. I want like a three main characters, like a volume where it's, you know, three people from different walks of life, like The Invasion, right? On Apple TV Plus. It's an alien invasion, but we're following multiple characters from multiple different walks of life and how they're interacting and how they're reacting to this situation. That's what I want to see as a flashback story for this. I want to see that for the fall, right? Before the Republic, before any of this, call it before the Republic. You know, you're welcome. I want to see that. I want to see after this, like, how do we move forward? Are we evolving society? Are we bringing back, you know, representative democracies? Like, what are we doing going forward? Like I said, it's a good standalone story. It just leaves me asking more questions. Maybe you want to ask those same questions. So make sure you check this out. This is Fool Court Studios. Check out therepublicnovel.com. That may take you to the Kickstarter, but hopefully from there you should be able to get to the necessary places to purchase it. But yeah, I want to know all of those other things. One final thought for the fucking price point of this book. This is a hardcover, $60. Look at it. It's good. It's like solid quality for $60. Why do I not have special features? If I'm getting a hardcover and if you're charging me $60 for it, sketches, designs, plots, ideas, a snapshot of the fucking napkin that you wrote the first version of the idea on, anything. Give me 3 pages, 5 pages. It doesn't have to be like a whole fucking 22 pages or 40 pages of fucking bonuses, but some bonuses. Paying $60 for a hardcover, bro. And I bought 2 of these bitches. Come on. Hardcovers should have bonus materials. I'll let you get away with that shit on a fucking soft cover. I'll let you get away with that shit in a fucking single issue. But a hardcover that you're charging me $60 for? Bonus material, fam. Bonus material. Otherwise, the story's good. Solid. Yeah, that's going to be it for this one. If you have any questions about these, make sure you hit me up at the Indie Hype Man on YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, I'm all over the place. And that's going to be it for this one. Make sure you go to your local comic shop and ask them for their recommendation for a post-apocalyptic survival story. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you in the next one. Before they go living, my vision is vivid. I wander the places they marvel. The shit that I'm talking is low-key a novel. Yeah, I'm so lit, but a lonely spark. About to end game like Tony Stark.